This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another special guest series on the Authentic Persuasion Show. This season has been all about professional sales educators and programs at universities and higher education, helping the world of sales get better by impacting and influencing the future of sales. Anyone who knows me, my mission is to help fill the world with authentic persuaders. So this intersection of the guests on the podcast this season, my mission, what I'm focusing on is amazing because it's all about helping build value. Whether you're in sales now and you didn't realize there's a sales program out there and you could maybe recruit from or learn from, or maybe you want to get into sales and there's an abundance of programs that are now available. Hopefully you get some value from this. If you're here today, it's for a reason. There's something that connected you here for this video, this audio on the podcast online. Today is a very special conversation and a very special guest. And I know I say I'm always excited for every conversation. I truly am. But and I won't say he's the godfather of the sales programs, but on the program today, I have Dr. Terry Lowe from Kennesaw State University's Center for Professional Selling. And he has a long background. He has been involved for a long time, entered academia in 1991 after 11 years in the industry of sales, and then has been running sales programs since the 90s. He is the originator and the founder of the National Collegiate Sales Competition that actually started in 99. I did not realize there was a sales competition. I didn't even realize there were sales programs until a couple of years ago. And Dr. Terry has been doing it since 99. We're talking 25 years. I think they just did the 25th anniversary. So an amazing conversation we're going to have. Dr. Terry, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you having me. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to live up to that billing.
You know, I could have kept going. The credentials that you have, all the things that you've done, how you've been involved, the things that you've founded and started. We're going to talk a lot about it over these three episodes in this conversation. I know that you definitely live up to all of that and more. Even just from the standpoint of what you want to do for the world of sales and how you're doing it from, you know, the higher education standpoint. This first segment is about authenticity and it's about what that means. Let's talk about that, like your journey in sales. Where did that start? And then where was that pivot point into education? And where does that authenticity piece fit into what you thought sales was versus, you know, what you're seeing or teaching now?
So good question. Thank you. I can go back a long way. Of course, I think we all, as I looked through your book and understood a little bit about what you're doing, we're all in sales. I've been doing it forever. But like most everyone, I fell into it and started in sales in 1982, 83. Like most people, I didn't have any training. I got into the financial service industry and I got my Series 7, my Series 6, got a phone book and a phone back when there were actually phones and phone books. And so it was a journey from there. And then in 91, my wife and I, we had our first child, and we decided to make some changes. She's a primary care physician. I was in sales in the financial services industry, and obviously both of us were working a lot. So I guess it's more divine intervention that we decided we were going to change our lives. So we did. I went back to school. My wife quit private practice, went to work at the health department in Memphis, Tennessee. But from there, getting into academic world, which is interesting, and you've had a chance to talk to some of the sales directors. I think we all like to think that we're normal compared to other academics, but we may be a little bit delusional, but it's a great group of people. But getting exposed to a sales center on a college campus, my first faculty position was at Baylor University. They started their sales center in 1985. So they were one of the first, a couple others, Ohio University, possibly Northern Illinois, and then Houston came in and a few others, Kennesaw State being one, Ball State, up in Indiana. And so it was a very small, small community. There were probably 20 or 25 schools total that taught any kind of extracurricular or sales, standalone sales classes. I can go on. I was going to say, we talk to each other because we have to do research together. But we really never did a lot of things in the classroom together. So that's part of the reason that National Collegiate Sales Competition started, is so we could get together and have conversations about how do you teach sales? How do you come up with principles of sales, just like finance or management or marketing or engineering, et cetera. So it's kind of led to that. And then starting that competition to get all the schools together. And then we started the University Sales Center Alliance in 2003. That was 9 schools. It grew to now there's about 74, 75. And I think you spoke with Greg recently, Ricardo from LSU, and he was there. So we all meet a couple of times a year. And I think the authenticity piece of it is that we all saw what the stereotypical view of sales was. And we knew that that was one, it was bad, and you're not real successful when you do those things long-term, especially. But getting sales and sales curriculum programs into higher education allows us to actually do a lot of research on what's most effective. Being able to adapt, understanding the other person, but really just being yourself. And identifying issues, challenges, and figuring out ways to help people more than trying to manipulate or manipulate people or trick people into doing something. So I think being genuine, which is mostly what we call it, but authenticity is what buyers want. That's what anyone wants when I'm interacting with somebody.
I love it. And just because I'm curious, how does that compare, the research backing up what, you know, is effective in sales, especially from what buyers want? How is that compared to either what you thought of sales when you fell into it a while ago, or what you were taught, you know, even though you fell into it, not a lot of training other than the phone book and the phone, but like what you were taught or shown or what other people were doing in sales?
Well, back in the 80s, you know, there are a lot of people around. Fortunately, I found Zig. Zig was great because he was, and I think a lot of the great salespeople and their sales research would actually started in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, right in there. And they were talking about salesmanship and how to persuade people. But a lot of the greats out there, including Zig, stumbled on to a lot of what has been substantiated empirically through research. And so his tagline or what he often said, his motto, which we actually have on our walls in our university, in our sales lab, is you can have everything you want out of life if you help enough other people get what they want out of life. So it's more of mentally, if I can understand that I'm really just trying to help people. I'm just really trying to find out, okay, I understand my product. I know what the value proposition is of my product. And then I need to find people who need that, where we can actually have a meaningful impact on them. And so that's really the tie-in, is that the successful salespeople, I think, in the past who did trial and error, which I did, there was no training. We need some good sales movies. We don't have any good sales people heroes in any of the movies. They're all bad. And I'm thinking maybe we should produce one. But that's, I think, the stereotype. And I think getting sales curriculum on university campuses helps elevate the credibility of the sales profession, because you're able to attract people who are willing and interested in learning. So the learning piece and the curiosity piece and becoming a real person and understanding that the people you're talking to, your buyers, whether they're consumers or it's a business-to-business sale, you're always selling to individuals and to people. And they just want somebody who can help them and are going to be honest with them and trust and help. And they need to be able to trust you. So you've got to be trustworthy, not just act trustworthy. You actually need to be trustworthy. I think the biggest sale I made in my life was to my wife. We've been married 37 years. And when we first met, I thought she was intelligent and beautiful. And I thought, well, you know, how do I get to do that? And I figured I have to be the kind of person that she wants to be with. And so when I'm looking at industry and looking at these people who are struggling with different challenges with business growth, whether it's personal quality of life issues with individuals, but mostly businesses are trying to improve their sales or decrease costs or whatever their challenges are, they want somebody who's genuinely wanting to help them and not trick them. You know, I want to be in a partnership with an individual for a long time. I think the authenticity pays off because they let their guard down and they begin to trust you. I think the takeaway is you need to become that kind of person. You need to become the kind of person that businesses want to do business with. And it's not an act. It's something that mentally you have to be in. I think your ideas have consequences. The way you think about what you do impacts how you do what you do. And I think everybody that you interact with, they then know that. It's you can act for a while, you can trick for a while, but eventually your personality is going to come out and you're in a relationship with someone for years or whatever. They're going to figure out who you are. So being that kind of person and being the kind of person that people want to do business with is extremely important if you want to be effective.
And I think that's an amazing point. And I appreciate the fact that you wrapped that all around too, where you said, you know, authenticity pays off, that you want to become the person and be the person that they want to work with, that they're going to trust, that they're going to get value from, but that it's also not an act. I mean, makes me think of, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all the time. And the people who try to pretend to be that authentic person or pretend to be that salesperson and try to be what they think that other person wants, it's not going to work. It doesn't work in relationships, doesn't work in sales. That's why, you know, like you said, everything in life is sales, because it's relationships and it's who you are. And the people who try to do it that old school way is just, it's usually transactional, and they're hoping that that person doesn't, you know, where to find them afterwards. And I love the fact that you brought up Zig Ziglar and that quote, because I think that's one of the fundamentals I know that I live by and adopted really early on, and just the guiding thing of, you know, you help enough other people get what they want and you'll get everything that you want. And I think that's a really good mantra when in doubt, you know, for salespeople to follow. So when it comes to that, and obviously that range and what you're talking about with people now and the students and the programs and everything, where do you see that being adopted? How do you see teaching that to the future salespeople? What are they coming in and thinking or expecting or kind of anticipating with a sales program?
So Kennesaw State is about 35 schools in the world that have a degree in professional selling. Most schools have an emphasis or certificate program. Basically what we teach are the same things. And so the good thing about the University Sales Center Alliance is we meet twice a year. We talk to each other all the time, and not just about the research. And again, we have to do the research, which is important. But we talk about, you know, curriculum and how do you teach and, you know, what are you doing that's most effective to your students? And without exception, and again, it's a small community we're in. I see people, 95% of us have been in sales. So we have a heart for it. We have a passion for improving the sales profession. And I think as we have talked to each other and we have new faculty come in, new professors come in teaching sales, there's a fairly common thread that we want our students, just like a sales manager wants his salespeople or her salespeople to be successful. The biggest reward we gain is seeing them change and seeing the light come on in their head. And I think a big part is it gets back to what I shared a minute ago is your ideas have consequences. And there's an analogy of a lot of the philosophers from Socrates to Plato to Aristotle. Aristotle's most famous student, which most people don't know, was Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, by the time he was 31, had conquered, 90-95% of the known world. But what most people don't know is that in his teachings, when he was sitting under Aristotle, they were talking about how everything works together, how society works to get together for the best. How are we most productive as a society? How are we most effective and as a society? How do we come together and working all the different combinations of culture and commerce and all those things, bring them together and the best ideas from all over. So a big part of the reason Alexander the Great did that is because he wanted to bring all these ideas together to make a better society. Now, he liked the fame and the money, and he was ambitious as well. But that was because of the conversations he had, a big part with Aristotle and all the other students studying under Aristotle. So what he thought, what he believed, impacted his life. So as I am preparing and as I see these students come in and all the other faculty and professors around the country, we talk about this, is they have the stereotypical view. And one of our big jobs is to break that stereotype and help them understand that that's not what salespeople do. People who are trying to get money, that's what they do. But people who are true salespeople, professional salespeople, they're trying to make a meaningful difference in the lives of their customers. And the good thing is we all like money and we want to make money. We're not in this for free. So the more I help people, the more I get rewarded from that. But again, I think it has to be genuine. There's a great college word for it that I tell my students. It's called enlightened egotism. So enlightened egotism is all about the self, but enlightened egotism, it means basically I know that if I do these things, eventually I'm going to get rewarded for it. It's not karma. It's not quid pro quo, because I'll help some people and all these universities help each other. And I work with probably 75 or 80 companies each year. I'm trying to figure out where I can provide value to them, not just so I can raise money from them and I have to raise close to $1 million a year with the different programs I do. But I'm looking at these companies in specifically and saying, okay, can we help this company? And we go through a process. We go through the sales process and my students are involved with that. And so they have to go out and they might have to make sales calls. They have to develop leads. And what we're trying to help them understand is they're not trying to call people just to trick them and get money from them. We're calling them to really try to find the companies that need good salespeople, which basically is every company out there, who need a number of salespeople from all over the country. And so if we can start getting them to engage like that and from the very beginning to understand that the way I think about what I do is going to impact how I do what I do. And if I think I'm, a lot of y'all are the younger generation now, with all the social programs that are going on and, we're trying to get away from, making money. That's the only thing. They talk about culture and they want culture. The young people coming out, Gen Z and millennials even, and some of this new generation, they want to make a difference. Part of that is because the Maslow hierarchy of needs in our country, most people aren't struggling. We do have poverty still, but most people aren't struggling to figure out where they're going to eat and where they're going to live. They are trying to self-actualize. Thank you. And I think these young people coming out, they don't worry that much about money and making it. They want to make a lot of money, but they want to make a difference. And so we positioned us that way to help them understand that that is the way you make a difference. So again, as we talk about the different universities that do this, we're all on the same page. And we've tried, I think, to come together with a principles of sales that these are the processes that you use, and this is the attitude that you have if you want to be successful.
So one of the big things, and this is where I resisted the thought of a sales class and or degreed program when I first heard about it several years ago, is that, you know, no matter what, you boil sales down, it's an art and a science, right? It's not like math. It's not chemistry. That's not like it, either this or that. It's very fluid because you're dealing with humans, and humans are messy and unpredictable,
yep.
Right? And so it's part art, part science. When we're talking about this section here, especially the authenticity, which is probably more of the art than the science. The science will be the process we can talk about in the next episode. But how do you teach that? How do you help encourage that? I mean, again, I hear what you're saying about people wanting to make a difference, which I think is amazing. And that's the bridge to getting people to breaking the cycle of you know, self-centered sales just for purely manipulation purposes for their own gain. But like, how do you teach that? How do you inspire that? How do you help that art side of the person?
Okay. Good question. So there's, and this is the way I approach it. And I've got a story, a quick story. At the end of the semester, like all professors, teachers, lecturers, 2-3 weeks before the end of the semester, I get very popular. I used to get very popular with students who wanted to persuade me that they needed to have a better grade. So a student would come in and say, "Dr. Lowe, I want to talk to you about class. And, you know, you're the greatest professor I've ever had. I learned more in your class than anything else. I don't test well. But it's a great class, and you're just great, and I need a better grade." I remember it, I was at Baylor. It was the second year I was there in 1997, I think. Kid, young person knocks on my door. It's about a week before the end of the semester. He knocks on the door and says, "Dr. Lowe, I want to talk to you about class." And I said, "Okay." So come in, sit down. He sits down, and he said, "I hated your class." I said, "Okay, well, that's a different approach. I'm not sure you're going to persuade me that way, but I do want honesty." He said, "I'm a finance professor, major. He said, "In finance, we have these formulas. And if you put in the right numbers, you put in these numbers and you use the formula, you get the exact right answer every time with no deviation." And I said, "You're exactly right about that." So sales is a soft science. Math, finance, physics, they're all hard sciences. So we understand the laws of nature and the laws of gravity. And if you do things, that happens. But in the soft sciences, in the social sciences, you're dealing with the human mind. And there's so many variables and intervening variables that are going to impact how those things come out. So what we're trying to do, and here's the science of sales. When you make a purchasing decision, you make it in a predictable, repeatable manner. So you come to recognize you have a need. You start looking for what you're going to have a need. You define what it is going to take care of it. So depending on which one you look at, there's 5, 6, 7 steps in that process. And that happens. Now, everybody's a little bit different, and some people rush through and do it differently, but it's still a soft science. It's still a science because it happens. We know it happens because we've researched it. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. So as a salesperson, one, I have to make you comfortable, but my job is to help you get through your decision process. And if I understand where you are in your process, my job is to help you get through it. So me asking you questions helps you start formulating and getting through each one of these steps of what you need that's going to, and actually if you need to do anything about it. It's got to be important enough, and there's got to be pain points in there. But we're asking questions to help them come to an informed position to make a decision versus trying to tell them what they need and tell them that you need to get this because I have it at a cheap price. But if they go through that process, they feel much more comfortable because you haven't forced them to skip steps in their decision process. So they should be much more comfortable with the process and hopefully more comfortable and trusting of me to be able to open up to me. I'm still going to have to ask them to do something. And most people still don't like to change. But if I've helped you through that, gotten you through your gates of your decision process, and I've presented a solution and I've presented value to you that's going to help you in a substantial way, then closing is easy. I just asked you to do it. So there's no tricks involved. So the art side, the soft skills are really communication skills, emotional intelligence, which we teach, and we've got them in our textbooks now. And that's more touchy-feely, but being more aware of who you are, which I think you talk about in your book, just being self-aware and being aware of how you impact others and how others impact you and your emotions, whether what you say makes me angry, makes me happy, gets me inspired, then the more I understand about that, the more I get that, the more I can actually improve the connections between my neocortex and the portion of my brain that deals with emotions. So that's a long answer to the science and art, but it is a mix. You have to use creativity. And I'll actually have a slide or a visual that I use that has the art and the science beside it, next to each other. And the science, because we know, like golf, there's physics to hitting the ball. But when I get in certain situations and I'm in the rough or I'm in the trap or I'm behind a tree, I got to use some creativity to figure out how do I apply the physics to make this happen. And so the salespeople are most successful, according to all the research, there's been a number of meta-analysis out there, are the ones who are most adaptable. I need to understand the process, but I need to be able to adapt in the situation and recognize what's going on.
I love it. And that golf reference and analogy is fascinating. And I have a bunch of questions I want to ask you in the second portion in our conversation about persuasion and the sales process and this art and science leading into that. And I love what you said about this part and where the art comes in and the emotional intelligence and the confidence and the skills and the soft side, which again is tough for purely analytical people or people who want like a clear roadmap. It's like, that's not how it works because again, it's humans. You can't predict it. So as we close out this episode, I know for people who might want to connect with you, learn more, chat with you about what you're doing and focusing on. If there's people watching this and they run other sales programs and for some reason they don't know who you are, they can find you as well. They can connect with you on LinkedIn. So Terry Lowe, L-O-E. Also, Kennesaw State University's website. The link will be in the show notes. They can obviously Google it and find the Professional Sales Institute at Kennesaw. And like I said, the link will be in the show notes. Terry, thank you for being on here, for sharing this piece about authenticity. I can't wait for the next two segments as well.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it as well.
And for everyone tuning in, once again, thank you for being here, being a part of this journey to help change the world of sales from something that people default to thinking that is gross and a dirty word and they don't want to be in sales or they don't want to interact with a salesperson to the kind of thing that Terry is on the front of and has been focusing on for quite some time and shifting the way that sales is done so that it is a profession, it is a something that's valuable and people actually look forward to working with a salesperson because they know that they're going to get some value and it's going to help them in the long run. And make sure to stay tuned, catch part two and part three. And until then, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.